Yeah, we love that when, you know, you don't actually take an offering, but you get an offering. That's nice. That's really nice. Praise the Lord. And tonight, folks, let's open up our hymnals to 161. We'll stand for 161. What a blessed service we had this morning. Just a wonderful time of fellowship and worship, communion in the Lord. And it's talking about the joy of Jesus. What a blessing that was. 161, don't you just love to tell the story of Jesus to people? That's how you know you're a real Christian. You've got to tell somebody, you know? You're compelled by the Holy Spirit to speak about your Lord. And we're going to sing the first, third, and fourth of it.
From God's own holy word, I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the
great singing for a Sunday night, I tell you. And what a blessing to know that the story doesn't change. The gospel story never changes. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that saves. I am so glad of that. And I'm so glad that we know 10 million years from now we'll still be glorying in that old story. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. We'll get right to our Sunday night message. And open up to the book of Isaiah tonight. Isaiah chapter 43. We are not going to be studying the Olivet Discourse part 4 tonight. We'll do that next Sunday night. But the Lord laid something a little different on my heart. And We're led by the Spirit around here, and we like to obey His voice. Amen. So in Isaiah chapter 43, before we even read, I want to let you know something tonight. That is, that God wants to do a new thing in your life. You know that? God is always wanting to do new things through our lives. The question is, do we hear those plans and follow them? Here in Isaiah chapter 43, we have an incredible passage to the believer. Look with me here. We'll stand for the reading of God's holy word. In Isaiah 43, verse 18. This is God speaking. Amen. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, pictures of Gentiles, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Beloved, I want to call your attention to verse 19. God says, I will do a new thing in your life. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the incredible passage that is before us in Isaiah 43. How we thank you tonight, Heavenly Father, that you love us so much that you are the potter, we are the clay. And you're trying to form us into a new thing, a new being, a new creature that you've designed divinely for us to be. Lord, I thank you that as clay, we cannot resist the hands of the potter, but simply let you have your way and allow you to do what you choose to do in each of our lives. Why? Because, Lord, we know from your word that you want to do a new thing in each of our lives tonight. And it's a great and glorious thing, though they may differ. We thank you for that, and we ask you to bless your word and teach us by your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. God, in verse 19, makes a proposition to his believing people. That is, to motivate the hearer to seek a new vision, a new desire, to allow him to accomplish something great in their lives. Folks, God hasn't changed. This is some, 3,000 years later almost, and he still wants to do new things in his people's lives. Why? Because God doesn't change. Amen? And he's always looking out for our betterment. Oh, yes. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight, brethren, that God wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to do great things through your life and mine. The problem is that he needs our cooperation. We still have free will, and we must agree with God that he is right and I am wrong. Amen? We need to allow God to have his way. We need to cooperate with his Holy Spirit. Now, look at verse 19 before I read this. Verse 19 of chapter 43. Behold, I will do a new thing. God says, I'm going to do it. And then he asks, are you going to know it? Are you going to realize it's my hand working in your life when it happens? Listen, folks, Isaiah's writings to the children of Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, came at a very bleak period of their history. They're in captivity, hey, Luke, and they have lost everything they thought they would keep forever. They were homesick for the land, the Holy Land, and for the blessings that God had promised them. And now, God comes along and tells them, through Isaiah the prophet, that he wants to do great things for them through their own lives. He wants to bring them back to the place of blessing. He wants to bring them back to the promised land where the milk and honey flow like rivers. Amen? Listen now, he's giving them hope. I'm so glad that our God is a God of hope, church. I'm so glad that we don't go blindly through this life without help or hope. We have the living God even in us and with us. Beloved, I want to give you three things tonight. Three steps that God is wanting his people to take in order to embrace the new thing that he wants to do in our lives. It's the same three steps that every one of us need to take. The first step is to embrace the new thing that God wants to do in your life. The first way you do that is to change your focus. Amen? If we're going to do that new thing that God has for us, we need to change our focus. You know what's wrong with most people? They're messed up mentally. I mean, in their mind. They're not thinking straight. They're not focused. Listen carefully. Look at verse 18. God says to his people, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." He's saying, forget the former things. Do not dwell on your past failures. God, we all have a past, right? We all have things we're ashamed of. We all have things we could wish we'd go back in time and change, but we can't. So God says, forget about it. It's under the blood. You're clean in my sight. Listen, he says, don't dwell on past mistakes. God says you need to let go of your past failures, forget about your own inabilities and foolish mistakes, and refocus your heart's attention and mind on what I want to do in your life. It all has to do with our focus, folks. It all has to do with our focus. I like what Ellie always says. She has a saying, and it's so profound, yet so simple. She says, we need to pay attention on purpose. My sister, we need to pay attention on purpose. Isn't that true? We need to pay attention to what God is trying to do. And we need to do it purposefully, on focus. Listen, if you are continually looking behind you, you can't see where you're going. You might crash. You better look ahead and focus on Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, if you are ever going to move on to new things in Christ, you must learn that, first of all, you cannot depend upon past victories to sustain you today. Forget the former things, God says in verse 18, the failures and the victories. Why? Because you can't live on past victories. You need victory today. Amen? Old David found that out when he was a little shepherd boy going up against big Goliath. He needed God that moment, not 20 years ago. Now listen, folks. You cannot depend upon past failures, and you cannot depend upon past victories to sustain you. The children of Israel had many victories in their past. Like, how about leaving the land of Egypt by a miraculous dividing of the Red Sea? That's a supernatural act of God. That's a great victory they had. How about afterward coming out of Egypt, going through the wilderness, conquering the land of Canaan with just a small army? They wiped them out, didn't they? But how about fighting off foreign invaders time after time after time? How about they survived a split in their monarchy and they're still a nation today? How about they endured one evil king after another and still stood victorious because of God? Now they're in captivity. They need a new victory today. And God says in verse 19, look at it, "Behold, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you know it? Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Wait a minute. You don't find no rivers in a desert. It's nothing but dry sand. You don't find a way that's a path, like a road, in the wilderness. It just doesn't happen unless somebody creates one. God says, I'm going to make one for you. I'm going to make a way for you to get through that wilderness of wild beasts and enemies free, safely. That's what he's saying. Now, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do great things for you. And you, all you have to do is let me. I'm so glad tonight, folks, that we are under the dispensation of grace. Imagine being under the Old Testament dispensation, having to keep 613 rigorous laws of Moses, and having to go to temple and Sabbath and all these feasts and all this. You can't eat certain foods, and oh man, it would be difficult, wouldn't it? But God put us under grace, and he says, just let me do what I want to do in your life now. Beloved, the question isn't what has God done for us. The question must be, what is God going to do in my life today? What is it that you want him to do in your life right now? I want you to pause and think, church. What is it that you want God to do in your life? If it lines up with his will, I've got good news for you tonight. He's going to do it. He knows the desires of our hearts. Now, God is a God of the here and now. How many times in the Bible does God say, I am, the seven I ams of John's gospel? Jesus Christ every time said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the living water. Jesus is the great I am, and he's your God. You've got nothing to sweat. He's in control, and he wants to do something great tonight in your life. But secondly, in order to move on to new things in Christ and to change our focus, we must know that we cannot allow our past failures to overcome us. You know, a lot of times, a Christian, a true Bible-believing, born-again Christian, I've seen it, they'll get so discouraged and so defeated and so depressed because of some failure in their past life that they can't get over. I failed so miserably. God will never love me again. I can't serve God. And you know what God says? Look at verse 18. Remember ye not those former things, neither consider the things of old. He says, don't even think about it. Don't even give it a second thought. You know what the devil wants to do? Bring up dirty laundry. Oh, I remember 1969. You were in the bathroom. Well, whoop-de-doo, I'm under the blood. It's washed. You know what he wants to do? He wants to bring up our past failures to get us into a state of defeat. You cannot allow your past failures to possess you. Look at verse 18 again. He says, don't remember them. Don't even consider them. Think with me, church. The children of Israel had failed God miserably. We know that. Every time he blessed them with good things, they returned unto him evil things. Think with me. God gave them the temple. They gave him idol worship. God gave them the truth. They lived and proclaimed a lie. God gave them his commandments. They lived like they were suggestions. God gave them wealth. They used it to abuse the poor. God gave them himself. They gave him nothing except rejection. They failed and they failed and they failed again and again and again. But here we find the God to whom they failed telling them, don't worry about it. It's all going to be well. I am with you. Now, the children of Israel did not deserve to receive anything from God. Did you hear what I said? You don't deserve anything from God. Neither do I. We are sinners, and what we deserve is eternity in hell because of our sin. It's by the pure mercy and grace of God through Jesus Christ that we're not going there. Amen? Don't think that you deserve God's blessings. You don't. It's pure grace. Now, God still loved his people, and he earnestly desired to bless them and help them to change. Did you hear what I said? God wants to help us to change those areas that we're ashamed of. He wants to help us and teach us how to clean up our act. Notice God's message. Verse 18. Forget the former things. Forget about your past failures. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. He says, I want you to focus on not on yourself or your past. I want you to focus on me. That's what he's saying. Folks, listen to me. Here is the key to the victorious Christian life. When we focus on Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, not Bob Oliver, looking unto Jesus, the author, that's a creator, and finisher of our faith. He's the one who gave you faith. God was not condemning them for their past. They could do nothing to change it. God knew that. Instead, God was holding out the hand of hope. He's in effect saying, forget about your past. I'm giving you an opportunity to start over. And I want to do something great through your life. Don't you know that's still true tonight? Isaiah 55, verse 7, look at it. Isaiah 55, verse 7, God says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon, abundantly pardon. Folks, listen to me. Our God is so great that it doesn't matter how low you've got. It doesn't matter how bad you've failed. It doesn't matter how miserable you were. God is a miracle worker. God will take our lives and God will make it into a beautiful Rembrandt, you know, that he's the painter. Glory to God. We've seen the first step to embracing the new thing that God wants to do in our life. It's changing our focus. Changing our focus to what God wants to do. But secondly, the second step to seeing God do new things in our lives is embracing the new thing that God wants to do in our lives. Listen, it takes clarifying our focus. That is discovering what it is that God wants to do. Look at verse 19 of our text, Isaiah 43. Look at 19 again. God says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. This is unconditional, folks. It doesn't say if. Look at the question God asked. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God mentions two events that could only take place by supernatural action. Divine power of God. See that? God says, what I'm going to do in your life is going to be supernatural. It's going to be something that you never dreamt you could do. But you can because of me. Now, listen. Notice the word in verse 19, no. See that word, no? Underline it. The Hebrew word there is yada. It literally means to know by seeing, to recognize, to acknowledge, to be aware of, to understand fully. God wants you to understand fully what he's trying to do in your life. Amen? I'm so glad, folks, listen to me. I'm so glad we don't serve a God who keeps us in the dark and never lets us know what he's doing. He wants us to know what he's doing. The problem is, do we have eyes to see and ears to hear? We have to be in the spirit in order to perceive what he's doing. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to clarify our focus in order to see what he wants to do in our lives. Yeah, I know my granddad, when he was alive, he had this beautiful pair of binoculars, probably 100 years old. And I loved those binoculars, and I'd go out in his backyard. It was in the country. And, you know, you could these woods and everything. And I'd love clarifying the focus on those binoculars so that I could see birds and rabbits and stuff far away off. But in order to see them, you have to clarify the focus. Amen. God wants, secondly, for us to clarify our focus in order to see what he wants to do. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you see when you view your life? Don't answer out loud. Do you see possibilities or problems? Because now, notice what God said in verse 19. Look at it. Verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. That changes everything in the passage. It's not what you can do, beloved. It's what God wants to do through you. God, listen. God does not want us to look at our problems because God wants us to see the possibilities of what he can do through us. Now, God says in verse 19, look at it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God is saying, I am going to make a way for you to return to the promised land, that place of blessing, and those dried up areas of your life, your spiritual life, where you have stopped praying, stopped studying my word, stopped coming to church, stopped telling others about me. I'm going to restore living waters to you by my spirit. Look at that, verse 19. A way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Wow. Those are living waters of the Holy Spirit. Now, the children of Israel had a choice. They could view their past and the problems of their present, which you all have them, or they could focus upon what God wanted to do in their lives today. Amen? Now, notice also the sharp contrast in the wording here. Verse 19. Notice the word way and the word rivers. Listen carefully. Way is representing God's way. You're going to be walking in God's way, not your own. That new thing, it's going to be God's way. And then rivers represents an abundant supply of the living waters of the Holy Spirit working and flowing through your life unto others. Now, hear me up. In order to discover what God wants us to do, first we must see ourselves as God sees us. Did you hear what I said? This one's so important. Realize that the children of Israel felt as though they were getting just what they deserved. They were, because of the way they had lived and rebelled against God. Some even believed that God would never have anything more to do with them, but they were wrong. You know, there's a bunch of people in the world today that call themselves Christians that believe that God is through with Israel and he'll never have anything to do with them again, but they're wrong. They're called replacement theologians. They do not understand God's plan for the elect nation Israel. That one day, Jesus Christ will set up a 1,000-year messianic kingdom for Israel. This week, this elderly Jewish couple from Israel, I was Uber driving them. And I knew they were Jewish by the last name. And I said, I love the Jewish people. They said, you do?
They're so used to being persecuted, you know? I said, oh, yeah, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, and we love the Jewish people. And I got to talk to them for half an hour all the way to their destination. And I said, do you know? You guys may not know this. I could tell they were like Orthodox. And I said, you guys might not know this, but did you know that your Messiah is going to set up a kingdom on this earth where you Jews will rule the world under the Messiah? And they said, what? I said, the Bible says so. I study prophecy all the time. And the Bible says you will not be the tail, you'll be the head. You'll receive your Messiah when he comes back the second time. And they're like, we don't really believe that, you know. But that's okay, because it doesn't change the truth. Now, you may feel like your past has made your life a wasteland. But in God, your life can become a stream of living waters. Let me show you how God sees you and me today. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's how he sees you. Listen to me. When he sees you, he sees you as listen to the word I'm going to use. I don't know if it's a word, I made it up. He sees you as uncondemnable. You know what that means? It means you could go into any court in the land and no one could bring a charge against you and make it stick. Why? You have no condemnation. You're under the blood. All your failures have been washed away by Jesus Christ. That's how he sees you. Oh, this will clarify our focus real good. When we learn to see ourselves as God sees us, Colossians 1:21 says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies of God, in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, uncondemnable, and unreprovable in his sight. Now notice the last three words of verse 22, Colossians 1:22, in his sight. Folks, listen to me. I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? We believe in the grace of God in this church. And in his sight, you have no sin. You are uncondemnable. I didn't say you wouldn't get punished if you sin. You will. It's called chastisement. But I'm saying that your sins are washed in the blood and you can't be condemned. Okay? That is so important to see yourself as he sees you in his sight. In his sight. Do a word search on that if you have a Bible program and type in the words in his sight. You'll be surprised what comes up. Now, we've seen that we need first to change our focus. All right? Get our focus off of ourselves and on the Lord. Secondly, we've seen we need to clarify our focus. That is, fine-tune it to Jesus Christ. But finally, and thirdly, we must commit our focus to God's plan. To the plan of God. Look with me again in verse 20. Isaiah 43. Look at verse 20. The beast of the field. Wait a minute. Beasts of the field? Those are usually untamable, aren't they? Nope. Not when Jesus Christ grabs hold of them. The beast of the field, that represents a lost Gentile, a heathen. The beast of the field shall what? Honor me? How could that be possible? I'll tell you what. It can't. Apart from a supernatural miracle of God. Do you know that every single soul that gets saved is a supernatural miracle of God? They change from being a spiritual beast of the field to honoring Jesus Christ in their life. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Look at it. It gets better. The dragons. Some of us were devils, real devils, you know. The dragons and the owls shall what? Honor me. Why? Because I give waters in the wilderness. That's where we live, in a wicked wilderness. And rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Verse 20 is simply saying this, beloved. Though we live amidst a wicked world of darkness, we have living water to drink that they know not of. He says, I am going to sustain you. I am going to keep you going as you allow me to do this new thing in your life. 21. This people, you and me, have I formed for myself. You, I got good news. You're a very important person. No, not because you make X amount of dollars or because you're dressed in such a way. You're a very important person because you were made for God. Look what he says. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. It's getting better. Now listen carefully in closing tonight, church. God had already set into motion the events and the people who would lead Israel out of captivity and back into the land of blessing. But it was still up to them to decide if they wanted what God was offering. Did you know that some of the Jews, after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, stayed there? Thousands of them. Said, oh, we're kind of happy here in Babylon with our idols and these heathen idolaters. And they stayed. When Cyrus made the proclamation, go home to your land of it, build your temple, build the wall of Jerusalem. They said, nah, I think we'll just roll over and go back to sleep. Not all. They have the register in the Bible of those who did return, the names. Listen, if they refused God's plan, what he wanted to do, if they refused to follow where God was leading them, back to the promised land, then they would be doomed to remain in their captivity and never experience what God wanted to do in their lives. Did anybody hear that? You've got to agree with him and say, yes, I want that, what God wants for me. How sad, how tragic for a child of God to think about this statement. How tragic for a child of God to finish his or her life on earth without ever fulfilling the great plans that God our Father had for us to accomplish. I can't think of anything worse. Getting to heaven, and the Lord says, why didn't you serve me? Why didn't you accomplish what I planned for you to do? And you you had other plans of your own, see? We need to agree with God that his plan is the best plan for my life. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything except God's plan. I don't want anything except God's will. I don't want anything except to make him happy. Amen? Folks, that's why we're here. Oh, it's so important that you hear me tonight. Now look again at our text in verse 19 in closing. Verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now. Whoa. Anybody hear that word? Now. Not 20 years from now. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's saying it's going to be so miraculous what I'm going to do in your life. You're going to recognize it like as if someone paved a road through the wilderness of Colombia, you know, right through the rainforest. Or as if somebody had a flowing, rushing river, like the Nile River going through the Mojave Desert. That'd be a supernatural act. He's saying, you will know it by the miraculous accompaniment of my miracles, of what I'm doing in your life. Folks, God has already set into motion a new direction and a new purpose for your life. The question is, will you follow his direction? Will you fulfill his purpose for your life? Hey, maybe his purpose is for you just to be right here in Hooksett, serving him through this Bible church. You know we're reaching the world with the gospel over the website? I get letters every week from all over the world. People getting saved, people being edified, pastors using my sermons. They ask me permission. I'm like, you don't need my permission. You want to preach my sermon? Preach it, brother. The word of God is free. Listen, the choice is yours. My message tonight is God wants to do a new thing in your life. In closing, I knew a man about 30 years ago. It was 1986. And this guy was on fire for God. I won't even give you his name. But he was a good friend of mine, and we both were preparing for Bible college to become preachers. He wanted to be a missionary. I became a missionary, but ended up being a pastor. So this brother, he was young like myself, and he got involved in some sin, some foolishness, and he never went to Bible college, and he never became a missionary, and he never preached God's word. And boy, could he preach. I heard him preach a number of times. He had a gift of God. But you know what? He never got to use it because of sin. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? That somebody, God would give him so much talent, so many gifts, and they'd waste it and never fulfill God's plan for their life. Why do I bring that up? Because I don't want you to make that mistake. It's the worst mistake, in my opinion, that a human being can make other than not getting saved, dying without Christ. Why? because you will go to heaven. Yeah, salvation is a gift. You'll go to heaven, but forever you'll wish you could go back and serve him. God wants to do a new thing in your life. Do you? Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight that Jesus Christ is Lord and Master. We thank you tonight, Lord, that by thy grace, through thy Spirit, we can indeed accomplish the will of God for our lives. And Lord, when we do, when you accomplish what you've chosen to do through each of us, when we get to heaven, we will rejoice forevermore that Jesus did it. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight for Isaiah 43. I'm so thankful that particularly there in verse 20, the miracle worker that you are, that you can perform supernatural acts that we cannot. And therefore, Lord, we need to focus on you, and we need to clarify that focus on Jesus. And then thirdly, Lord, we need to agree that your plan is the very best plan for our lives. Nothing could be worth trading in the will of God. Nothing. Nothing. The will of God is the only thing that matters. And we thank you, Lord, that you are accomplishing it in each of our lives tonight. I thank you for the encouragement we've received this day through the scriptures. We thank you that it's your voice, the oracles of God, that speak these truths to our hearts by your Spirit, Lord. We thank you that it's a voice from heaven that tells us, yes, you can. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's stand at this time for a invitation song. And let's open up to hymn number 235. Oh, yes, here's a good one. 235. It's really a prayer, this old hymn of the faith. 235. Pass me not. And guess who wrote it? Fanny Crosby. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. We're going to sing the first and the last, folks. The altar is open if you need it. Not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. When on others thou art calling, do not pass me worship him, church. My humble cry. When others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort. Listen. More than life to me, whom have I on earth beside thee, whom in heaven thee. Everybody now, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. One more time. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. What a blessing to worship the King with you today. I tell you, it's been good. I don't want to leave.
Well, praise the Lord. And don't forget, this week, as you're out and about, that God wants to do a new thing in our lives. Amen? And He will. We just need to let Him. Father, thank You so much for such a good day You've given us today. Lord, we love You. We love You more tonight than we did this morning as a result of church day. That's what church is all about, Lord. We draw closer to our Lord God Almighty. We love You more. We worship You more. We praise You more. And we thank You more for all that You're doing in our lives. Lord, I'm so thankful that Your word is alive. Lord, what You preached to Your people back there in Isaiah 43, some 2,700 years ago, You preached to us tonight. That You want to do great things in our lives today. I'm thankful You're the now God. I'm thankful You're the great I am. And I'm thankful, Lord, that You're the God of the living, not the dead. And I thank You, Lord, for the salvation You provided. We are so blessed tonight to have Your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord, our wonderful Master, our wonderful blessed Redeemer, our Boaz, our kinsman Redeemer. Lord, we love You tonight and we ask You to bless us as we're dismissed. And Lord, use us this week to share the joy of Jesus and explain that God wants to work wonders in people's lives. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.